You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Papa. And I want you to see not only a father's advice to his child, but a father recounting his father's advice to him and how these things get passed along. And not just the facts of this, but the way these things apply to our lives. So let's start in chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 1. And believe it or not, we will try. We may go over the New Testament a little bit. We may stick right here in one chapter for those that find it and comfortable getting at least one chapter found. All right, Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good advice. Your translation may say, I give you good doctrine. I give you good doctrine or good advice. Do not forsake my law. And then he goes talking about, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, and then he goes off here and we're going to read this. So from about verses 4 to 9, he's going to describe to his son what his father tried to tell him. Now, there's two ways to learn stuff, and unfortunately, my way has been the hard way most of my life. You can learn the hard way, or you can learn by wisdom. And that's when someone says to you, look, here's the best thing to do, and you go, you know what? I've seen that your life was messed up by doing it your way, and you're trying to help me, so if this is the wise way to live, I'll take your word for it, and I'll just do the right thing. Or you say, well, you know, well, you had to find out, you had to learn your way, I'm going to have to learn the same way, and then you plow 10, 20, 30 years the hard way, and that's not a very wise way to do it, but some people, and myself included, tend to be a little hard-headed, and we learn that way. Solomon here is saying to his son what his father had said to him, and Solomon is the wisest guy, probably the wisest guy that ever lived. Even then, he made some mistakes. But he says here, hear my children, back to verse 1, the instruction. Now let me give you, I'm going to go through a bunch of words here today so it's a little more clear what he's talking about. This word instruction has the inference here of discipline, chastening, correction, of chastening. But when he says, hear my children, the instruction of a father, this is a father coming and saying, look, you got to do the right thing. You got to stay in line. Now my dad, I think I've shared this before, is 6'9", weighs something to go with that. Very big man. Very authoritative man, and kind of one of those deals when he spoke, you listened. I told someone just the other day, he was so huge and I was so little as a child, I literally thought his hands are just massive. On a 6'9" man, everything's massive, but I always had this thought that he could reach down and grab me by the head and either pick me up or just crush my head. So there's a certain amount of fear, you know, you just like, don't mess with this man. And he had a deep voice and, you know, he started talking, if he got angry, you just didn't want to mess with him. But there were times when he disciplined us, and he probably didn't have to do it more than about once on a certain issue. You mess up one time, that's it. You do it again, you're toast. And so my mom, we got away with a little bit of stuff with her, but my dad, you did not mess with my dad. I mean, we'd put books in our britches and stuff with mom. She'd spank us, and we thought we got away from that. You wouldn't even have thought of a book with dad, unless it was the Bible and you were praying while he was spanking you kind of thing. But when Solomon says here, hear my children the instruction, it's not just saying here's what you do. He's given instruction that implies here chastening, correction. He's trying to direct them and give them instruction because they've gotten out of line a little bit. Give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother. And this word tender implies that he was probably young, a very fragile. The word means fragile, young. He was kind of at a very tender age, and that's why this word is used. Tender and the only one, maybe an only child in the sight of my mother. He's talking about the only one around my mom. He also taught me. So Solomon's saying to his son, his children, I'm teaching you, but I'm telling you, my dad, David, tried to teach me as well. He also taught me and said to me, and here's what he said to him. Let your heart retain my words. Now, what is the toughest thing to get a child to do is to listen and obey. part of the reason I think God set this thing up the way he did and gave us children, if you have children, I understand not everybody does, but if you've been around kids, that keeps you from having them sometimes. But if you have children, every once in a while you look at your kids and you're trying to get them to do something and God goes, well, isn't that interesting? You're having a challenge with them. That's kind of the same challenge I've been having with you for about 20 years. Because I say something, I said it my word, you get reminded in messages, tapes, devotionals, I keep telling you this stuff, and you won't do what I'm saying. And you're having the same problem with your physical kids, and I'm having you with a spiritual child. Pay attention, listen here, he says here. So he says, my dad told me, let your heart retain my words. Don't just hear them and let them go. Hold on to them, retain them. Keep my commandments. Now let me jump ahead here in my notes and give you the word for keep here. This word keep means to keep, to guard, to observe. It's to watch, it's to retain, to treasure up. It's something you protect. He says, hold on to these words. Keep my commandments and what will happen? And live. Now let me give you just some basic stuff. If you take a small child and say to that child, if you go out into the street, you could be killed. And if the child goes toward the street and spank the child, now, why would you spank a child who was almost could have been killed in the street, inflict more pain than there's already been fear? To teach that child. And you say to that child, look, you can't do that. There's a reason. And sometimes it's easier to train dogs than it is to train kids. We'll just save that for another message. So you try to train these children. You try to show them the consequences. And sometimes we go, but I don't understand. I just want to go play in the street, Mom. There's danger in the street. And God says, look, I know what's best. And as you grow up, you say to your kids, look, my dad tried to tell me, I'm trying to tell you, and they go, but I don't understand, I got to do it myself. And you just have to pray a lot that God will protect them in the same way he protected you. Keep my commandments and live. If you will do what God has told you to do, it literally affects your life. And there's so many categories on this. Someone comes along and says, don't do drugs. You know, well, I got to find out for myself. You can die messing with drugs, right? Somebody says sex, don't mess with sex. You say, well, everybody's doing it, it must be okay. Somebody shows up with AIDS, some kind of communicable disease, something that literally can kill you. You say, "Ooh, he must have been serious about that," but it's a little late now to be looking back on it. You literally, if you will keep his commandments, he says here, my dad was telling me, keep my commandments and live. Verse 5, get wisdom. Now let me give you the word for wisdom here. It means skill, could apply to war, wisdom in administration, shrewdness, wisdom, prudence in like religious affairs, or wisdom, ethical and religious. It's not about being smart. You can be smart and very unwise. There are people who are very intelligent. They know all kind of facts, but they're stupid. In a way, I shouldn't use that word. There are kids in here, I apologize if your parents want you to say stupid. It's a great word though. Anyhow, we don't use it at my house, but you can preach and use it. You can be wise and not have a lot of head knowledge. And I think we probably all know people. Somebody you go to, they may not even have a sixth grade education, but when you want to make a decision about life, you sit down and say, what do you think? And you see their head and their heart turning together and you're going to get wise counsel, not just information. So this word wisdom then is used. He says, get wisdom. We chase everything else under the sun. Solomon had everything under the sun, almost literally. We go after everything, and a dad saying to his son what his dad had told him, get wisdom. The next one, get understanding. And the word used here for get is a purchasing kind of word. If you're going to go out and acquire stuff, if you want to get a hold and own something, then get wisdom and get understanding, because this is the way you're going to be able to live and live the way God intended for you to. So verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. David telling Solomon, do not forget. Now this word means, it can mean to forget, to ignore, or to wither, to cease to care. Do not forget. And obviously these kids are close enough to Solomon here, and Solomon was close enough to his dad to listen. And Solomon must have listened, because if you go back and read the story of his life, when he had the option to come before God and God said, I'll give you whatever you want, you write the check, I'll sign it. And he said, give me wisdom. Give me an understanding heart. Let me know how to rule these people, how to oversee this great task you've given me. And God said, because you asked for that, I'm going to give you everything else you didn't ask for. And Solomon was unbelievably blessed as a result of that. So again here, David saying to Solomon, and Solomon recounting this, keep my commandments and live, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Listen, remember, don't forget, don't turn away from this. Verse 6, now I think it's very interesting in the Bible that wisdom, understanding are referred to as a she. Of course, the women don't think there's any shock to that whatsoever.
But verse 6, do not forsake her. You would never hear wisdom referred to as a male. It's usually a female. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. And the same word for preserve in verse 6 is that word back up in verse 4 that meant to keep charge of, to guard, that same kind of thought there. Don't forsake her, and she will preserve you. She'll protect you. Love her, and she will keep you. And the word keep is different than the one up in verse 4, but it means to guard, to watch over. Wisdom, understanding, when they're working in your life, if it's a she in this case, this principle, this idea, it will keep you safe. It will preserve your life. It will guard you and protect you if you will live by it. And we all know this. There are some people out there who just don't know, and I'm sure we have some today listening. Some of you have never heard any of the Bible stuff. You don't know. You've just been winging it. You've had no father maybe in your life, no direction, nobody to say, hey, here's the right thing to do. Or if you did have a dad, maybe he was a loser in your mind. Maybe he just went off and lived crazy and you're living like he was. And you've never had anybody come along inside and say, hey, you know what? This doesn't work, but this does work. And you get some instruction from them. A church can provide that. A more mature believer can provide that. So I understand we have people who don't know anything. But we also have a certain number of people in this country who have heard so much they don't have room for any more in their hard drive. They need to put something out there, do something with what they know, not learn more stuff. If you would do something with half of what you know, your life would change unbelievably. All right, keep reading with me. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. And this word principal means the primary, the first thing. This ought to be right up at the top. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, since that's the case, get wisdom. He's trying to tell him, Solomon is telling his son, his children here, what David had told him. This is what dad said, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. Again, these words about acquiring this, going after this. Verse 8, exalt her and she will promote you. In other words, exalt her and she will exalt you. This word promote means just that, to exalt, but it also means to raise or rear as in children or to cause to grow up. If you exalt her in your life and say, wisdom is the deal, I'm going to pursue this and let God help me be wise, then she will promote you or raise you or show you how to grow up and live. Now guys, this stuff is tangible day after day, practical stuff. If you'll hammer this out, you pray for wisdom. If you want to go look over, I think it's James chapter 3. There's a passage in there about asking for wisdom. God will not hold back. He'll give to everybody, but don't ask doubting because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You can read that passage in James 3. You want wisdom, God will give you wisdom. You want to know how to live, He'll show you. But when you pray for wisdom and God gives you wisdom, you've got to use the wisdom and the advice that He gives you. And obviously, Solomon here talking to his children, the way David had talked to him, is trying to say, get wisdom, exalt her, she will promote you. Verse 8. Look at verse 9. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. There's blessing, there's benefit that comes from this relationship with wisdom, with doing what God wants you to do and asking for wisdom to live that way. All right, now that ends what Solomon is sharing that David had shared with him. Now look at verse 10. Now he goes back and says to his son, hear, my son, and receive my sayings. Listen to me. Don't do it the hard way. Be wise and listen to what your dad's telling you, and there's good that'll come from this. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. You'll live longer if you'll live the way God intended for you to live and what I'm trying to say to you. Verse 11, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. And this word taught you in verse 11 means to point out, to show, to direct, to teach, to instruct. You have to be there showing them. You have to be there doing it. This happens in our house a lot. My daughters, if you're going to teach, you know, it's a whole lot faster and easier to do something for yourself. If you want something done, you want it done right, what? Do it yourself. But the problem with that is you'll be doing it yourself the rest of your life and no one else will know how to do it. Give it to somebody else and say, okay, and I'm a terrible co-pilot on a computer. Have you ever had somebody say, let me show you, we have this in our office every once in a while, I'll be showing someone, and they'll reach for that mouse, and I got the mouse. It's like, who's going to, you know, a mouse trap, somebody's grab that mouse. You got the mouse, you got it. And to just back off that mouse and let somebody else drive is so hard. He's like, well, I already know to go. Why would I let that person try? You're not going to teach anybody anything if you don't step back, get out of the way, and let them fail. Let them try. And David told Solomon, and Solomon here with his kids, look, I'm giving you instruction. I'm not just telling you this stuff. I'm showing you by my own life how this works. and you watch me, you know what? We're probably doing a lot of what our own parents did or did not do in our own lives, unless you prayed for wisdom and made some changes, not judging what they were or were not, but just made some choices about your own life. Now, you can change even though you didn't have that in your past. It's a little tougher that way sometimes, but you can do this. And Solomon saying to his son, receive my sayings, take them, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. In other words, he took him himself. Now, this principle here applies to discipleship, to parenting, to anything. You can disseminate information. You can give printed materials all you want. We can hand out Bibles, books, tapes, anything you want. At some point in the process, a human being has got to take another human being by the hand and say, this is how you live. This is how you love. This is how you learn. This is how you do it. And you say, well, I don't want to be in that process. You know why most people don't want to get in that process? It's not because they don't need help or even want help. They don't want the accountability. They don't want somebody meddling in their business. But see what happens? You run away from home. You get away from family. You get away from church. You get away from anybody that could say something and you're in trouble. But if you do, the principle that's applied here, get alongside somebody that can say, hey, let's go this way, do this. Here's how you do it. Not just running a computer, a mouse, but life issues themselves. This is how you learn. And Solomon here is saying to his son, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in right paths. Look down at verse 12, the next verse. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And the word here, steps will not be hindered, therefore hindered means to suffer distress. If you pay attention, he's saying, and you will listen and hold on to what I've told you and the paths that I've led you in, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. You'll not suffer distress. You're not going to have the problems you would have otherwise. Now, everybody has trouble. I understand that. But you know what? There's enough trouble coming your way without making more trouble for yourself. I got enough problems just with life stuff happening without doing stupid things to make more problems than I already have. So he says, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Even if you pick up the pace and you're running, you're not going to stumble if you're wise, if you've learned how to do what he's taught him to do. Verse 13. And there's so many words here that he used to describe this. Take firm hold of instruction. Grab a hold of it. Hold on to it. This is not something you just kind of look at and put down. He says, hold on to it. Guard it. Keep it. Put it near you. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. You keep it with you. You hold on to it. Keep her, for she is your life. Now, there must be something going on here. There must be something to this scripture because God is using Solomon, has used David on Solomon, Solomon on his children, his son here in particular, and saying, don't let go of whatever it is we're talking about here. Keep her, for she is your life. Your life is literally at stake. And one of the toughest things I have communicating to people is that you have one life. Reincarnation aside, people think they're going to come back as a duck or something. I mean, I don't want to come back as anything. I want to go see Jesus. You got one life. And if you live whatever it is, 80, and I don't know how many of those is. What is that? 80 would be 80, right? If you make it a 80, 80 and 10 is 70, kind of normally. However long you live, you know what? If Jesus doesn't come back, you're dying. You've got one life. And if you're going to do something, you better do it now. If you're going to do it right, you better start right now, or it isn't going to happen. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. I can take you right now, go get in my car, and drive you to trouble. I know where trouble is in this city. We got people in our church that struggle with drugs. I can get you in trouble within 15 minutes. You know what? We don't even need my car. It's blocks away. You want to buy a rock of crack? It's right out that door. You say, well, I don't have any trouble with that. What are you talking about? I got your trouble pretty close by too then. We'll just have a sign-up sheet and whatever you think your trouble is, it's out there. And Solomon says to his son, to his children, do not enter the path of the wicked. Don't go where they go. And do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. If you get close, the closer you get, the more enticing it is. Just get away from it. And Solomon says to his kids here, don't enter the path of the wicked. Don't walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. How many more ways can he say, get away? Don't even go there. It's not worth it. Whatever the place is, the problem is, turn away and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. You know people like this? They'll stay up all night till they make some trouble. If they haven't made trouble at a nightclub somewhere, they'll go somewhere else or rave or whatever they're trying to do. They'll just keep going until they can make trouble somewhere for somebody, including themselves. They do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness, they live off of this stuff, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. Light exposes darkness, spiritually and physically. You cannot do certain things in the light unless you are some kind of wasted, some kind of high, and you just don't even know or care anymore. There's a certain atmosphere created by just darkness itself. And look what he says to his son. The path of the just is like the shining sun. It will be wide open, lit up, bright, where everybody can see your life. You can see your life. You can see where you're going. It'll be open to everybody. That shines ever brighter into the perfect day. Now, let me throw this word in here, perfect. The word perfect used here means to be firm, to be stable, to be established. It's a describing a completely different life than the other people described here. And if you live God's way, you learn God's way, something is going to be different. Verse 19, he shows the contrast. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They're falling all over the place and don't know it. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. In other words, read the scriptures. Now, whether he wrote this down and gave it to his son or was talking to him, eventually it got written down. Let me tell you something, guys. The Father has written us a letter. It's right here. Keep it in front of your eyes. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. And Solomon goes to his son and starts talking about his eyes. Say, look straight ahead. Point it straight ahead. Keep your eyelids, your eyes straight ahead. Don't go any other way. Straight ahead. Stay on the path. Because the second you look, you know what? You start to wonder. Your body tends to follow your eyes. You start to wonder, your eyes wonder. All of a sudden your body starts, what's that over there? I may go check that out. And Solomon says, look straight ahead.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the Talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now, I don't know what you call your dad. Some people call him Pop. If you listen to Pop and you learn from Pop long enough, you'll end up with Popeye. And you watch what your daddy sees, and that's what you see. You watch how your daddy lives, that's how you live. You listen to what your daddy says, that's what you say. And if you look at Solomon, I'm not saying he lived a perfect life, he had problems. David taught Solomon something. Solomon taught his kids something. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. This word established means to be firm, to be stable, to be secure, to be enduring. Ponder the feet of your path, the path of your feet. Look down. Where are you going? What is going on in your life? Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Pay attention. Hold on. Guard. All these words he's saying, get a hold of this thing. Wisdom, instruction, understanding. Verse 27, do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now, what is he even trying to do here? Saying this is the way to live. Listen and learn. This is the way to live. This is the way to do it. And these men, David had made terrible mistakes in his life and tried to tell Solomon, don't do what I've done. This is how you live. Solomon was wise enough to do the right thing for a long, long time and then try to tell his own children when they were young. And God comes along as our father and says, look, you've got to listen. You've got to read. Keep it before your eyes and in your heart because out of your heart are the issues of life. Be around people. Be a part of a family. There's so many parallels, a father, a family, brothers and sisters. That's what a church is. And it matters what you do. Some of you will leave here today and between now and the time you go to sleep are going to do stupid stuff. unwise things. But you don't have to if you will listen. If you will say, you know what, God, help me not just see what the right thing to do is and know what to be wise is, but to act on that. And when you get in the situation, say, He's given me wisdom. I'm going to use that wisdom and see how it changes your life. It will change everything. It'll change the way you live. And maybe the fact that you live at all will be changed by the fact that you can listen and learn and obey and apply these things to your life.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.